This radio commercial was made to convince you to stop speeding. We can't use siren sound effects on the radio, so we'll use other equally jarring sound effects to get your attention. Like telling you that whether you drive a little over the speed limit or a lot, you can crash just the same. You could hurt yourself or worse, others.
I'm at the scene of the collision.
And the damage you cause will be beyond repair. See? We didn't have to use crash or siren sounds after all. Speeding catches up with you. Brought to you by NHTSA.
And now back to
The Rich Eisen Show.
Now.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. The Rich Eisen Show.
He can't quit us. And we can't quit you either.
Earlier on the show, Lions defensive end Aiden Hutchinson, comedian Nick Swartzen. Coming up, host of Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio, Overreaction Monday, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of our Monday show here on the Roku channel and this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate smart enough to have a Sirius XM Odyssey and more is on the air. If you missed the first 2 hours of this program, Aiden Hutchinson kicked everything off. He is reporting for Lions camp tomorrow. He was kind enough to say, as he put it, spend some of his final few moments of freedom, as he said, with
yep.
us.
Yep.
Or freedom to do what he wishes to do. That was fun chatting with him in hour one. Nick Swartzen was in studio in hour number two. Spoiler alert, if you missed it, I will just say this. He played the win-loss game for the Minnesota Vikings. He's a diehard Vikings fan. He said the Vikings would go 15-2 and win the Super Bowl over the Las Vegas Aces. So that was that.
That would be a first.
Yeah. So and then told some great stories from Sandler movie sets and some great Norm Macdonald stories. And again, if you missed it, we re-air on the Roku channel, channel 210. We greatly appreciate anybody who checks us out on the Roku channel or our podcast version of the show. All 3 hours can be acquired through all normal podcast acquisition means. And we greatly appreciate anybody that follows us on our YouTube channel as well. Greatly appreciate basically everyone out there. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. It's Overreaction Monday. We'll do that shortly, but it's always great to see on the outset of training camp season a friend of the program and a friend as well, the creator of Pro Football Talk and his show on Peacock, which you can also see right here on the Roku platform and portal. Our friend Mike Florio is back here on the program. Good to see you, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing well. Yeah, our show's still off for another few weeks. There's something called the Olympics that's coming up soon.
I've heard of that.
Heard of it from time to time.
I've heard of that.
Keeping us offline. We're back on August 12th. I've been doing my afternoon podcast, PFTPM, just to kind of, you got to keep the sweat going. You got to be able to talk and make sense, which is something I still struggle to do at times.
Right, and just trying to, I guess cross streams with Olympics and whatever. You're already checking out to see if South Sudan might beat us in flag football one day soon. You never know, right?
You never know.
Check out that the flag football scene. Hey, listen, Mike, let's just jump into some of these stories at the outset of training camp season. What, best of your knowledge, is going on between the Packers and Jordan Love's representation that's keeping Love off the field at present?
They're trying to get a deal done. And, they say it's a deadline-driven business. The question is, when's the real deadline? The Packers apparently didn't regard the start of training camp as the deadline. And we've seen players hold in. It's become kind of a thing in recent years. T.J. Watt did it, eventually got his contract. Roquan Smith did it in Chicago a couple of years ago, eventually didn't get his contract. But the player shows up, doesn't hold out, isn't fined. He's there, but he's not practicing. He's not putting himself in harm's way. For Jordan Love, it's a $10.5 million salary this year. He deserves more. The two sides haven't come together yet. I was told yesterday it's more money than structure, but with a deal like this, there's a lot of factors that go into it. How much are they going to guarantee at signing? How many years are they going to be on the hook for? He finished strong last year, but the first half of last year wasn't all that great. We forget about it because of how they finished and what they did in the postseason, but they're sold on him. The question is, what's the price going to be? Does it start with a 5? Does it start with a 4? Does it maybe start with a 6? I doubt that, but that's really what it comes down to. Yes, he deserves a second contract, technically a third contract. What is it going to be? They haven't worked it out yet, and the clock is ticking because it's kind of hard to get your starting offense ready when your starting quarterback isn't practicing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Sean Clifford, that's not what the Packers wanted to have want to have working with their ones to start their training camp season. And every training camp practice is sacred, man. That's certainly the way coaches are looking at it because of how few times you can put pads on players during the season or how smart it would be to do that sort of thing. Not like you really want to put pads and get your quarterback hit, but it is just when you got everybody else out there scrimmaging, you want your main guy out there. But isn't this something that we knew would come down the pike at some point, that while you were, you know, giving Rodgers his time and winning MVP seasons, that at some point you'd have to make some sort of generationally enriching decision on Jordan Love with a lot of sight unseen, Mike?
Absolutely. No, they've known this was coming, and this is a good thing to have. I hate that phrase, though, when people say it's a good problem to have. The right. Only good problem is no problem. But
that's right.
They're looking at the potential, Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love. And what we saw second half of last year puts Jordan Love in position to have the kind of career that we've seen from Favre and Rodgers. There's still a lot of time to go. There's a lot to be proven. What value do you put on what he's done so far and really what he is expected to do this year, next year, and the year beyond? And the big difference, too, is Packers don't have an owner. Packers don't have somebody who might try to take some of that money to go renovate the super yacht. This is all money that can be reinvested in the team. They're really only dealing with the salary cap here. How do they balance out all the different players, all the different needs? What do they budget to the most important position on the field? But this is really for the Packers. Yes, they're on track to an unprecedented one great quarterback, two great quarterbacks, three great quarterbacks in a row. We've never seen more than two back to back. So they're in great position here. They just got to work out this side of it. And we've all known it's coming. And Love has said he wants it before training camp. Well, it didn't happen. So now better get it done until you do. Like you said, it's Sean Clifford out there with the ones.
What's your best guess as to who gets a more high, gets a higher annual payment? Is it Tua or Jordan Love?
I think it's Jordan Love. And, you know, I think Tua, and we haven't heard anything along these lines, and it really wouldn't go with Tua's overall personality and vibe. He might have to hold out to get what he wants, because I could see the Dolphins making a last best offer before the start of training camp that is going to be a lot better than the $23.1 million he's due to make this year. But him saying it's still not enough, it's still not what I want. Yeah, it's smarter for me to take that than to play under the fifth year of my rookie contract. I want what I want, and the only way I'm going to get it is to stay away altogether. Now, obviously, Love didn't do it. Maybe Tua will hold in. But I think at the end of the day, Love ends up with more, because I just don't see the Dolphins making a market-level investment in Tua. There's too many question marks there. He said a few weeks ago, the market is the market, but I don't see the Dolphins going there with him. And the other important thing to remember, Rich, we rarely talk about this because we get so caught up in the numbers. There will be a structure that will provide an escape hatch for the teams. We saw it with Derek Carr's contract with the Raiders 2 years ago. He made a big deal about $40 million a year, this, that, or the other thing. They were able to get out after 1 year. So that's going to be one of the key details for Tua, for Jordan Love, for any of these contracts. How long is the team truly committed? Is it a Browns and Deshaun Watson situation where you're stuck for 5 years? Or is it, you know, after 1 or 2 years, if it's not working, we can just say, see you later, we're going to find somebody else?
So what gives you the impression or the gut feeling or what have you that the Dolphins are hedging potentially from giving Tua the market contract that the Jaguars gave Trevor Lawrence? Is it health? Is it talent? What is it? Because outwardly, what you hear from Mike McDaniel is a love for Tua. You hear the same thing from Tyreek. So I'll just ask that question and lay out, get your answer here.
Mike. Well, I think it's a combination of health and this kind of nagging question of how many other quarterbacks out there can do in that offense exactly what Tua has been doing. And are there quarterbacks that can do an even better job? How much of his success is the result of the innate skills and abilities of Tua? How much of it is the Mike McDaniel offense? Now, the Tua side would say, hey, he processes quickly, makes decisions, gets rid of the ball, runs the offense. The other side of it would say there's other guys out there that could do it if they were tutored by Mike McDaniel. But I will tell you this, it's been a few weeks that I've really thought about Tua, and the thoughts are creeping back into my brain. His side wants a market value deal. They want top of the market. And I just don't see Stephen Ross, the owner of the team, saying, I'll sign off on 55, 56, 57 million a year. But there's always the chance that they could do something that looks great on paper, but has that escape hatch or has a structure that doesn't support and doesn't mesh with the big number that we see. You know, the Trevor Lawrence deal, oh, that's 55. When you pick it apart and look at what he had left and look at the structure, it's really not a massive contract, not as massive as market value would suggest. So there are ways to do this to create the impression he's getting a lot of money, but the Dolphins still have some flexibility in the event there's a backslide from Tua. You know, he lost a lot of weight this year. There was that event back in June where people didn't even know who he was. I want to see how durable that guy is going to be when he's 20. He looked 20 to 25 pounds lighter than he was last year. You take off that natural suit of armor, it may be harder to stay healthy than it was last year.
Mike Flores, Pro Football Talk, and author of Father of Mine, which is available on Amazon this week for 99 cents. And you can pre-order the ebook for $4.99 coming up at the top of the NFL season in September right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Brandon Ayuk finally said the words, trade me. What happens?
Well, it all depends upon how far he's willing to push this. It's like Costanza on the way out to his fictional house on Long Island. How far is he going to go? In the Hamptons. That's on Long Island.
It
though,
is.
Right?
Yeah. The Hamptons, you're right, Mike. It's all good, Mike.
Second solarium.
You know? So, he had two solariums and he had two horses, Snoopy and Prickly Pete. Yeah. How far is Brandon Ayuk willing to push this? Will he not show up like Nick Bosa did last year? I think one thing he's learned is the 49ers respond to the squeaky wheel. And he really hadn't been squeaking all that much. Remember when Debo Samuel wanted his contract? And he's like, I want out. And he convinced everybody he wanted out. And then they made him an offer. And he said, maybe I don't want out. Nick Bosa last year held out until he got what he wanted. Ayuk had been very compliant. And now that's changed. So what are they going to do? You know, the problem with trading him now, what do you get in return that helps you now? You're parting with one of your key players, and you're not getting assets that can be used now unless somebody has a player out there that they would say, okay, we'll take that guy in exchange for Brandon Ayuk. I really do think, Rich, that the 49ers wanted to hold their nucleus together for one more year and then make hard decisions after this season about Brandon Ayuk, about Debo Samuel, about George Kittle. Ayuk is accelerating that by making it clear he doesn't want to play for $14.1 million. I think it's a mess for everyone, and there's a chance he just shows up and he's not as motivated as he was last year. Maybe he gets a little banged up and he chooses not to play through it because he's got no financial security beyond this season. You know, if he ultimately cries uncle, I have a feeling he's not going to have the kind of year that causes him to be second in the NFL in yards per target and second team all pro.
So that just again makes no sense to me why the Niners would comply right now. And I always, you know, would love to see players with the hammer. I just don't see him having it. You know what I mean? Like, his only hammer is to swing it and say, enjoy, you know, playing Monday Night Football without me against the Jets week one. Like, and really, and then how far do you take that, right? Like, that seems to be it. But it also seems like the Niners don't usually... I mean, why would they want to have that problem hanging over their team? Like,
paid all their key guys.
Right.
They paid all their key guys. They traded DeForest Buckner, and they squeezed Eric Armstead for a take a pay cut or take a hike ultimatum. Otherwise, they pay their key players. They paid Christian McCaffrey at a time when it wasn't obvious that he was a squeaky wheel, although I think he was doing it very discreetly and very quietly, making it known that it's time for him to be taken care of. But Nick Bosa, last year, same situation Ayuk's in. Didn't show up, got his contract. So if Ayuk is willing to incur the daily fines, and when you're in your fifth-year option, you miss a preseason game, you can be fined the amount of a regular season game check. So it can get very expensive. Now, those can be waived. Guys on first contract, those can be waived. Bosa did it last year, and I'd like to think if Ayuk does it this year, they'll eventually do something, either trade. And I keep coming back to this, Rich. We reported over the weekend that before the draft, the 49ers and Ayuk's agents were trying to work something out. And I think he wanted 28 at the time. He probably wants more now, and he should. The market's changed. The 49ers basically said, go find somebody else who'll give you 28. They were authorized to go look to see if there was somebody who would trade for him and pay him 28. Five teams would do it. So think about this. There are five teams that would have paid him what he wanted and given the 49ers value to trade for him. There just wasn't an offer big enough to get the 49ers to say yes. All the 49ers have to do is pay him. They don't have to give anybody anything. So if five teams are willing to pay him and give something up, why wouldn't the 49ers just pay him what he wants?
Oreo here, a few minutes left with the creator and editor-in-chief of Pro Football Talk. I know it's dangerous to ask you to interpret Aaron Rodgers' comments, but we haven't spoken since he was strolling off of a tee box in Lake Tahoe and talking about Davante Adams to, I believe, a Jets blog site. Pardon me if that was if I'm wrong on that. But, quote, I love Davante. Can't wait to play with him. Pause again. Adams's representation said he's a Raider, doesn't want to get traded. What was that all about? Because it makes it seem like there's got to be some smoke for Rodgers to say something like that, you know?
Well, a couple of things. I watched the full receiver series over the weekend, yep. And there are more than a few scenes where it's clear that Davante Adams isn't thrilled being with the Raiders. Now, that changed when Antonio Pierce became the interim coach, but still, all in all, he'd probably welcome a reunion with Aaron Rodgers. He said recently to Shannon Sharp, he wants Tom Brady to come out of retirement and be the quarterback of the Las Vegas Raiders. So even if there's nothing going on, it could be that folks are anticipating the possibility of a phone call or two, and there it goes. Now, here's the other wrinkle, Rich. I think the Jets decided after last year that they are out of the Aaron Rodgers friends and former teammates business. They might make an exception for a player like Davante Adams.
Yeah, I think so, right?
But generally speaking, they saw last year, Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback. He's not a very good general manager. So they are generally not moving in that direction. You saw David Bakhtiari was available. He's not going to be a Jet unless somebody decides to completely change their position. But yeah, it's easier to justify it with Davante Adams if there's a trade to be had.
Well, again, you know, I don't see why the Raiders would do that at the outset of a season. But, and you know, looking at the receiver stuff, as you were referring to the Netflix documentary, his frustration with Jimmy Garoppolo was when also Josh McDaniels was the coach. Neither of those guys are there, but it is Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell as well. It's not Aaron Rodgers. And so that's where I go back and forth as to what Adams might be really wanting behind the scenes. This seems like something to bear, keep an eye on if Jets start well, Raiders don't, trade deadline, even though they did push that later into the season. I just don't see why something like that would happen now. It just makes no sense. Everybody's ready to roll. Everyone's hitting training camp. Everybody thinks they can go 17-0. I don't see it. I don't see it.
You make a great point. I mean, we'll learn a lot over the first 9 weeks of the season. They moved the trade deadline back to the Tuesday after week 9. And maybe the Raiders are in a position where they fold tents on this season. They get value for Davante Adams and trade him to the Jets, if the Jets are even good enough. They've right. got that, not necessarily murderer's row by way of opponents, but my God, you got a quarterback that's taken 4 snaps since January of 2023, and he's going to play 3 games in 10 days to start the season. And they do the 3 games in 10 days thing later in the first half of the season. So, you know, if the Jets can survive and are in position to contend at or about the trade deadline, would it be crazy for a Davante Adams trade to happen? If the Raiders aren't contending, that wouldn't be crazy at all. We've seen things like that happen time and time again over the years.
Mike, really appreciate the time. Let's do this more often again now that, I mean, this is it, right? This is it. Ready to go.
This is it. It's over.
I'm psyched.
It's over. It's back. It's good. It's because for what I do for a living.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, you rely upon people visiting your website and engaging with your content. The water gets a little low in the well by way of, you know, content. You really got to stretch to keep people satisfied.
Yes, sir.
Now the fruit's falling out of the sky. I mean, it's great. This is the easy time of year because there's plenty of stuff that gets people to come check it out at PT.
Yeah. Mike, I don't know if you've got things going on in your life. I hear you. I did a top 5 list the other day on the anniversary of American Pie coming out of the top of the top 5 teams that can go all the way for the first time. You know, and good. So I hear you, Mike. I hear you. And for each team, I gave a, you know, what I did I have who did I have as Stifler? You know what I mean? I think I forget what might have been the Browns were Stifler. I don't know. So I hear you, Mike.
I didn't know which way you were going with that. I'm glad you went the way you did with it. There's a lot of ways that could have gone. Top
I know
five.
That.
Yeah.
I love it. Again, Father of Mine, 99 cents on Amazon this week, correct?
Yes, and the sequel, Son of Mine, out September 3rd. Oh. I'll send you a copy when it comes out. Pre-order it now for $4.99. Sequel is better than the original, although the original is still good, especially when you can get it only for 99 cents.
So it's like The Godfather. Sequel's better than the original.
You like the sequel better than the original?
Oh, ooh. Really? Ooh. Are you hot taking?
It was like two movies jammed into one, wasn't it?
I wouldn't jam a thing about that. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right, I could use a different analogy then.
I think they're the same. They're the same.
Okay, very good.
Son of Mine's better than Father of Mine, but Father of Mine's still good, and you can get it for 99. You can't get anything for 99 cents.
You can't. 99 cents on Amazon, Father of Mine, and Son of Mine is coming out on September 3rd. You can pre-order the book now for $4.99.
You know why I picked September 3rd?
What is that?
You know what?
No, go
ahead. That was the date of the expired milk that Kramer drank and vomited all over Susan's suede vest.
Mike Florio, next level.
The third.
All right. Take care of yourself, brother.
Bye.
Mike Florio at Pro Football Talk. Check it out. Fun stuff. Phone lines are lit. Before we go, just want to make sure that you have the Game Time Tickets app on a mobile device near you. Right in the middle of baseball season, why not go and see Shohei Ohtani hit one out of the ballpark in person? Just as a for instance, or maybe Soler. I can keep going on and on and on about what we're seeing on a Major League Baseball diamond right now. Game Time's an authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball. Makes getting baseball tickets even faster and easier, and prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to the first pitch. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets completely with Game Time, because there's last minute deals and you can get the all-in pricing, and toggling this feature shows you the total upfront with no surprise fees at checkout. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem the code RICH, you get $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Your phone calls and Overreaction Monday when we come back. We all know about the speed of sound, but have you ever thought about the sounds of speeding? If you drive over the speed limit, there are lots of different sounds that you might hear. Drive too fast, and you could hear the sound of your vehicle crashing. The sound of ambulances and first responders desperately trying to free you from the wreckage. You could hear the beeps of a heart monitor. You could hear doctors and nurses in an emergency room as you're being treated for your injuries. You could hear the sound of worried family members in the hospital waiting room, hoping to hear that you're okay. You could even hear the sound of people crying at a funeral. Because if you drive over the speed limit, whether by a lot or by a little, you could do damage that's beyond repair. You could seriously injure yourself, or worse, you could hurt and even kill someone else. When you speed, you put everyone on the road in danger. One way or another, speeding catches up with you. Paid for by NHTSA. Rich Eisen here for Sleep Number. They say opposites attract, and that's why the Sleep Number smart bed is the best bed for couples. I can confirm exactly that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. It's just 10 numbers apart, but it is the world of difference. You can choose what's right for you whenever you like. If you like a bed that feels firm but they want soft, Sleep Number does that. You want to sleep cooler while they like to feel warm, Sleep Number does that too. You have to feel it to believe it. Find the bed that's perfect for both of you only at a Sleep Number store. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, Sleep Number smart beds starting at $999. Prices higher in Alaska and Hawaii. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
So tell Mark Norman and Shane Gillis, my two openers.
Yes.
I say, hey, we're doing the Mullet Arena. We'll do two shows. We do one show Saturday night. Sells out at Friday. Sells out at Wednesday, at Thursday. Doing four shows. Guys, it's a little treat. Super Bowl tickets on me. Good seats.
$125,000
$1,000.
Well, you're going for the primo if you're talking about that.
I didn't know. My wife called and she goes, they just took $125,000 out of our account. Is something going on? Do you need to talk to me about something? Are you going to South Africa for a month? I was like, no, we're going to the Super Bowl. I don't even like either of the teams. This is the rub.
Oh, no.
They don't tell you your seats until Friday.
Get out of here.
You don't know where you're sitting. I don't even know who I gave the money to.
Oh, my God.
I don't even know. My manager just gave me $125,000. I feel like Bernie Madoff's client. Like, I'm just sitting there going, so you think Bitcoin's going to really do well? I hope this money turns out. Matt Damon said we're cool. Oh my God. Tom Brady's involved. This should be a win-win, right?
I'm sorry. I'm laughing so hard and crying.
I don't even know who I don't even know when I get my ticket.
It's the greatest heist ever.
I'm like, guys are so sick, but I still limp.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, God.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, if I have bad seats, I'm going to be limping.
You're on.
I hate the Super Bowl. I'm going to be rooting against both teams.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show for all your needs right here on the program. Back here on our radio show, one big happy Rich Eisen Show radio network family. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Phone lines are lit. Gosh, I love it. It is that time of year.
Win-loss, baby.
I believe so. All right, Chris, I'll give you who do you think we should take here?
Oh, let's go Bears win.
I like you, Masab in Chicago, Illinois. Good to see Masab. Did I say it correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you're in Chicago right now. Is that where you are?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
City in the States.
What do you got for me? You want to play the win loss game for the Bears?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's do it. There we go. Hit it, please. Let's give Masab his music.
Come on.
Starting at home with the Tennessee Titans.
I think that's a win.
All right. That's a surprise. Yeah. At the Houston Texans.
So this is a tricky one. I'm going to say a loss, but I think we could kind of sneak one in.
See, that's not the way we play it.
Yeah, it's win or loss.
It's win or loss.
It's a loss.
Okay.
I said loss, but I think we could sneak it.
Okay.
Possible.
At the Indianapolis Colts.
I think that's a win. AR still needs to get his feet under him.
All right. 2-1 home for the Rams.
We're on a little home streak right now, like two games at home. I think we started off with a win.
And then you got the Panthers at home next.
Easy win.
4-1.
Ooh, easy.
Now you go to Tottenham to take on the Jaguars.
This is where it's a little tricky. Trevor Lawrence is pretty good at London. He's played a couple times there. I say it's a loss.
4-2 off the bye at the Commanders.
Win.
5-2 at the Cardinals.
Win.
6-2 home for the Patriots.
Sorry, Brockman. Win.
7-2 home for the Packers.
I think we finally start to get rolling and we beat the Packers.
You're 8-2 home for the Vikings.
It's another win.
9-2 at the Lions on Thanksgiving.
I'll give it to the Lions.
9-3 at the 49ers.
It's another loss.
9-4 at the Vikings on a Monday night.
Where we bounce back.
Win. 10-4 home for the Lions.
We always play the Lions good. Another win.
11-4 home for the Seahawks on a Thursday night.
This could be a trap game. I'm going to say it's a loss.
11-5 at the Packers.
I think we're playing for playoffs and maybe even division. I think we win.
12-5.
Whoa, baby.
Masab in Chicago.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The Bears are winning the North.
Well, 12-5 would do it, I think.
That would get Fluce coach of the year.
Certainly, you split. Thanks for the call. You're splitting with the Lions, sweeping the Vikings, and splitting with the and sweeping the Packers. All right, you win the division. 12-5 with those results. Mm-hmm. Dude, we have gotten 4 Bears win-loss players in my book here. All of them say they start with a win at home against the Titans.
Everybody.
Okay. All of them think, let's see.
They lose the Lions on Thanksgiving.
That's correct. All You've got that too. Yeah, all of them say they lose to the Lions on Thanksgiving.
And they all lose to the Seahawks on the 26th.
And the only one, Connor in Norway, is the only one that did not think they sweep the Vikings. He's the only one that has them losing the second game to the Vikings on a Monday night right before Christmas. Everyone thinks they lose the final Thursday night game of the year, which is the home date with Seattle, the day after Christmas. That's going to be freezing.
Yeah.
And they all think they finish up with a win in Lambeau week 18. How about that?
I missed it. Did Moab have them beating the Jags or losing to the Jags?
He said lose.
He had them losing to the Jags, which is a split. The four have called in. Yeah. But there's 2-11-6s and 2-12-5s. The Bears fans are they're feeling it.
Yeah. Adam,
they can feel it.
Rich, this weekend, Adam sent Chris and I a video of Caleb Williams throwing just a beautiful pass. And then he wrote a word under there that we can't say on air, but it really shows how excited he is as a man to watch Caleb Williams throw the football. Let's just say that.
Bears. Very good.
The Bears.
It's Overreaction Monday time, people. Are we ready?
Let's go.
Are we ready? Hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday.
All right. Christopher, you have the floor.
Hey, guys, I wrote this while I was getting genital uppercutted by Delta yesterday.
Okay.
Happy Monday. Everybody good?
Kick them in the ding.
What do you got?
And it seems like this is happening, so I'm like a soothsayer, but Jordan Love should hold out or hold in until he gets a new monster contract.
I wouldn't hold out. Holding in is all he's going to need to do. This is going to get done. I have no concern. But holding in makes complete sense. You had this written before news came out today.
Yes, I wrote this yesterday on the flight from Pittsburgh to Dallas.
Of what he reportedly informed the team of over the weekend is that he's not practicing until he gets his contract. Which will, again, Mike Florio just left our program saying it's a midnight deadline league. We just don't know when midnight strikes in terms of this conundrum. I don't think it's week one. This will be done well before they're getting ready to go to Brazil.
Is it done this week?
That I can't tell you. I don't know. But the fact that, you know, he won't be out there with the ones in these practices if they reach that point. I don't know. But holding out won't happen. Holding in makes complete sense. I get it.
Do we know if he's there? Is he in Green Bay?
Assuming he's holding in.
Yeah.
What else?
While you were gone, we were talking to Mike Garofalo while he was golfing, and Brandon Ayuk asked for a trade, and then you get the report that they had some offers before the draft. The Niners screwed this up, not trading Brandon Ayuk before the draft.
What were the offers before the draft?
I think the Patriots offered a...
Forget it.
What do you mean? Wow. They have a history of doing deals together.
The Patriots weren't going to offer third overall. So what are they going to offer? A second night pick for Brandon Ayuk? Get out of here.
Second rounder, which was 30 whatever.
So what? He's worth a first rounder right now.
Basically a first round pick.
That's not basically.
He's worth a first rounder?
How would he not be?
Oh, interesting. You think he's a top 10 wide receiver?
I think he's going to be paid like one shortly.
That was not my question.
Sure. I think he is.
Sure. Not confident.
He would be worth a first round selection on a draft night, just like A.J. Brown was.
Oh, Brandon Ayuk's not as good as A.J. Brown.
I think in this day and age, you want to get somebody as good as him, you got to pay for it.
There were five teams who were...
Well, then maybe, and maybe that's why the Niners didn't swap him out.
Okay.
And they used their first-round pick on a receiver anyway.
Then why do they make a move and get rid of this guy?
I don't know. I'm going to stop talking this
way. All right, jeez. Don't yell at me.
Guys, your fighting's tearing us apart. Stop.
How long is this going to go for real? Is he going to miss games?
I can't imagine it gets to that point. If it does, he might give the Jets fans what they want, which is not showing up for week one. So, yeah, just tell Sauce you got 19. Don't worry about 11. You don't have to worry about him.
Jeez.
That wouldn't be a bad. That wouldn't be a bad. That would be. That'd be a nice break for the Jets.
Yeah, dream scenario.
What else?
All right, you see the clip from Kansas City over the weekend. Mahomes rolls left, bomb to Xavier Worthy. Man, that looked good. Xavier Worthy is going to lead the Chiefs in receiving yards this year.
This is exactly what Overreaction Monday is all about.
Is it?
Guy runs the fastest 40 in the history of the combine.
Wait, we all knew he was going to the Chiefs.
And then he shows up.
We thought maybe the Raiders.
And then he goes to the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Best quarterback in the league.
Doesn't get out on the field during the spring. Worth a lick. Then he gets out in the summer. Catches one pass in practice. And
it was completely viral over the weekend.
Right. And then it's just now he's going to lead the team in receiving.
Lead the Chiefs in receiving.
Okay.
Yeah,
got it.
No doubt.
It won't be Kelsey.
Nope. I mean, he's old. I mean, come on.
Oh, my goodness.
You know?
Okay. That's an overreaction.
You can't cover Worthy, Rich.
How are you going to cover him? You got Hollywood on one side. You got Kelsey on
Here's how you cover him.
And you got Worthy on the other side.
Listen, I'm not doubting this is possible.
Mahomes is going to run around
for a little bit. This an overreaction. Here's how you cover him. You knock him on his ass in the 5 yards in which you're allowed to do it.
He's too fast. Okay. Gone.
Everybody has to sign Quicksilver to come from the X-Men to come cover
him. So you're thinking Thursday night kickoff, Ravens and that defense
first
in town.
First play of the game.
Gone.
And if not him, it's the former Raven and Hollywood Brown.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Speed. Rich, you of all people know this. You cannot teach speed. You know this.
I do know that.
Come on.
More than anybody. Because I haven't learned a damn thing. What else, Chris?
Rich, number one media market in the country is...
New York City.
Did you see the news that came out of Big Blue in New York City though over the weekend?
Which is?
Daniel Jones ready for the start of camp. Ready to go.
Ready to go.
Daniel Jones. Comeback player of the year this year. I'm doing a 180 on Daniel Jones.
What brought this about?
Is this for effect?
I needed a topic. I needed a football topic.
This guy.
In his heart of hearts, he don't believe that, Rich.
Comeback player of the year. Comeback player of the year for Daniel Jones.
Okay.
He's going to start week one. Everyone thought it was going to be Drew Lock. Week one. No, it's going to be him. He's got new toys. He's got Malik Nabers. He's got when did Devin Singletary's nickname become Motor? Heard that for the first time during Hard Knocks.
I have no idea.
Motor is back there.
I like that, though.
Let's go.
Sure.
That was the most unsure.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah.
Did you just come up with lower register?
No. It's kind of like
just went lower.
We mentioned Godfather Part 2 before. It's like Frank Pantangeli. Michael Corleone said this. Michael Corleone said that. Like, yeah, sure. All Aaron Rodgers has to do is show up and play 60% of an MVP campaign, and he is your comeback player of the year. Dude, at age four, honestly, do you want to look up who's in pole position to win comeback player of the year award? More than anybody else.
Hold on, stand by.
Who else would there be?
Oh, he makes some
other
plays.
Than a guy just who comes out at age 40 and might, you know, Kirk Cousins is in line for it.
Ooh, yeah, that's probably true.
Let's see.
Comeback player of the year is Joe Burrow, Rodgers.
Okay, please.
2-1, Kirk Cousins 6-1.
Do you know how
Daniel Jones 23-1, great odds.
Do you know how much he has to do to outperform Rodgers, Burrow, and who else? Who's the other one?
Glenn Watsonuts.
Glenn Watsonuts.
Wow, Jay.
That's Philly. The other one.
Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. He would have
even
to,
Anthony Richardson.
To out, Anthony too. Richardson. Yeah, he would have to outplay
Nick Chubb
those
squatting 8,000 pounds
significantly.
Russell Wilson.
Come back from what? Bench?
Thinking?
I think there's a better chance of Brian Daboll breaking 7 seconds running a 40 with his new body. If you want to do what's more likely, that's more likely.
If there's some good chicken wings on the other side.
And not because Jones can't do it. It's because I just named you the competition for the category. What else, Chris?
I don't know. I'm just
good one. These are all good ones. These are great.
Mid-July topic.
These are great. Don't. Okay. By the way, own it. Don't.
Oh, I'm
back down.
By the way, just a little teaser for our season preview pod. I'm going to double down on that. And
very good.
On Daniel.
Okay. Put a pin in it.
Put a pin in it. All right. After a little basketball here, hey, Felly. after embarrassing showings over the weekend. Honestly embarrassing. Team USA wins by 1 point over. They're 43-point favorites.
That's fun.
And the women got beat by the players they didn't want. Neither men or women are winning gold.
That's
in Paris.
So ridiculous.
Neither.
By the way, is it neither. Not? Am I not mistaken, TJ,
yes, sir,
that for the previous Olympics, the WNBA All-Stars beat the U.S. Yes. women's national team?
And then
what did they do?
That was the closest game they had, period.
Neither.
Let's just put it this way.
It should have took Caitlin and Ainge.
Here are words I've never said before. Their performance.
Wale, did I say her name right? Yeah. She had like 8,000 points.
Here's words I've never said before. The men's national team's performance against South Sudan leaves some concerns.
Right?
Not really.
But
they should have lost. The guy had an 8-foot floater to win the game.
And he had to shoot over one of the best defensive players in the world, and he couldn't affect the shot. So they lost.
Make the shot.
Total overreaction. What else? All you got one more?
LeBron James was the best player on that team after what
I saw. By the way, did you see he's carrying the flag?
First basketball player ever.
Pretty cool.
To do that.
Pretty cool.
Last one. The home run derby next year, the Major League All-Star game. Let's get a little boost. Should just be Judge versus Ohtani. That should be it. Just those two guys.
Get it out of the way.
One home run derby. Let's get the big stars, who everyone wants to see anyway. All due respect to Teoscar.
How about this?
Just Judge versus Ohtani.
I like it.
Who can hit it the furthest?
I like it. Two things. It would be difficult to plan for that, and then one of them, you know, is injured, heaven forbid. So that's a problem. You're leaving yourself no backstop. But what they should do is something like that. But also, how does the skills challenge go? Get me O'Neal Cruz. Get me Ellie Dela Cruz.
Run around the bases.
No, just fastest or throw the hardest.
Yeah.
And is it the Japanese league or the Korean league or maybe both that has like a bunting contest?
Oh, yeah. And you try to get it.
Where you bunt it into the bullseye, right? Like it's sort of like curling.
Exactly.
But, you know, without the brooms and with a bat.
I want the Tom Emanski stuff. Give me some in the outfield. Throw it into a trash can.
Let's
do all of it.
Let's do it.
Way more fun.
Thank you so much. Well done.
That's being disrespectful to Pete Alonso there.
By the way.
Did he win? I forgot. Did he win the home run derby?
He's won two.
Did he win
the home run derby? So, you know. He's won two of them.
What are we doing?
Yeah, by the way, that's where you play the Tim Oliphant drop about, you know, nobody cares. Just for TJ Jefferson.
You guys, we got a man from Queens about to be nobody on the show about. Soon.
Okay, I know. That's later on in the week for sure. Hey, listen, Overreaction Monday podcast returns next week. And then middle of August every week. We're coming back.
We're back, baby.
Yeah, and season two of What the Football with Susie and Amy also starting next month.
Let's go.
And a lot of other news to come. I don't want to keep teasing. Let's start a break. More of your phone calls. And my gosh, did something happen in Major League Baseball last night we have to discuss. That's coming up. Hey, everybody. This just in. It's summertime. It's time to go and do all those summer things, like going to a baseball game. During the summer, I'm about to do exactly that, and I know exactly what to do, and you should too. You should go look forward to making new memories this year by going to a ball game using Game Time, the authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball, which makes getting tickets faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to the first pitch, so you can wait to buy your tickets with killer last-minute deals. The all-in prices feature, you get to see how much everything is before you purchase. Views from your seat, you know exactly where you're getting your seat, and the view of the field from it. Their lowest price guarantee, of course, that's Game Time. Takes the guesswork completely out of buying MLB tickets. Download the Game Time app. Create an account and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account. Redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
It's kickoff time, and Believe Podcasts are here to get you ready for the season.
He wanted to change the culture, and he wanted me to be a part of that.
With Believe, you get immediate reactions, game previews, and expert analysis from all 32 teams, plus all of your favorite college teams.
He's just rare in just about everything he does.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
This was good for everybody.
Just search Believe. That's BLEAV podcast, wherever you listen.
What's going on over there? What are you talking about?
Well, my man dropping analytics.
TJ doesn't understand baseball analytics.
What do you mean?
And I'm trying to just, you know, I'm trying to just learn him a little bit.
He's trying to tell, giving me like, well, Pete Alonso's not a great power hitter because his exit velocity isn't as high as.
The exit velocity on Ohtani's home run last night was 117 miles an hour. That's absolutely insane.
Are you saying that Alonso's as good a home run hitter as Shohei Ohtani?
I'm saying that he has. How many?
He has
211 home runs.
He's trying to say he has more power than Ohtani.
I didn't say Ohtani. I just said in baseball, he's one of the best power hitters. You said no.
Well, you can't argue with that, Chris.
Well, he's been arguing the entire commercial break.
I'm trying to find the statistics to back up my claim that he's not.
He has been doing.
Well, I mean,
I don't think Pete's exit velocity is as high as some of these guys.
Let me explain something to you, if you don't mind me inserting myself here. A better indication of what makes a good home run hitter than exit velocity, right? Is whether the ball left the yard or not. Did the ball go over the wall? That's a better indication of being a better home run hitter than what your exit velocity is.
In a weird way, I disagree because.
Did it leave the yard or not?
That's my whole point.
It's the number of ballparks it would have been a home run in. Until we have a standard ballpark, it's all going to be weird because every park is different. Like your cockamamie stadium, there are more home runs.
Since a guy who's got a pesky's pole that's 5 feet from first base, get out of here. In some cockamamie wall that Wade Boggs flipped 15 million extra base hits off of that would have been a fly out anywhere else. This guy.
I mean, he
talking about cockamamie fields.
He made it two against one.
He knows I'll fight over Pete Alonso, here. So.
Alonso's barrel rate is actually
can of corn and
3% down.
Can of corn in 29 stadiums, but in Fenway Park, it's a triple.
Just saying.
Back on the Rich Eisen show.
Selling the back of a baseball card.
This guy over there.
Barrel rate really matters.
Barrel rate.
Non-negotiable. Just saying.
Let me tell you something. I know Shohei Ohtani. I know when Shohei Ohtani's done something good is when Rich Eisen show, coordinating producer of all things digital, Sean Mitchell, Texas. he's the biggest diehard Southern California sports fan I know, right? Name me somebody else you've met in this town who cares as much about sports than this guy.
He's Dodgers, Chargers, UCLA.
Okay,
diehard.
So, you know, we're texting each other about our plane travels and problems last night. Hey, I don't know if we're going to be there for the show. And he's just like,
shout out Hoskins.
And then all of a sudden he hops into the text chain when you're like, I might not make it. And I'm like, my plane is delayed. And Hoskins is like, I might not make it. And by the way, he just landed. We got a few minutes left in the show. And Sean Mitchell chimes in with, hey, if you got a window seat, you might have a good look at Ohtani's home run.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, all right. And I got the Wi-Fi on the plane, and I'm like, Susie's sitting in the window seat. I'm like, would you mind raising that?
Just looking for a little white
window just to see, look for that white orb that might be the moon in New York City.
Yeah.
You know?
He crushed.
Oh, my gosh. That night of Dodgers Angels that I took Cooper before he went to camp, and Ohtani left the yard. You just hear it. The ball sounds different.
And we talked about Rob Lowe. It sounds different, his home run balls.
This ball left the stadium.
473 feet.
Is he underpaid?
Swing and a drive!
Well, here's the thing.
He should never pitch ever again.
That's where I want to go here. Because this is what I thought of. TJ, what do I like more than being right? Not much, right?
Making money.
I like, oh, no, I just like being right.
You like being right.
As much as I like being right, you know what upsets me?
When I'm right.
When he's right. And I just knew it. That when Ohtani's home run left the yard on ESPN, by the way, great time to do it.
Great call by Ravitch. Okay. It was great.
Left the frigging yard. I guess what did it hit the roof of the pavilion?
No, it went like through it and then into the parking lot.
Okay.
Who got that ball by
it? Hit the cart path.
Somebody like walking outside. Some random guy.
By the way, Shake Shack. There's a Shake Shack in right center field.
Oh, there is?
Yeah.
Just random.
Might be
outside.
There. You're about to order a double double, and then you know a home run hits you in the noggin.
Fries and cheese.
Oh my gosh.
These fries are Shake Shack.
But I thought to myself, here it comes again. Here it comes again. He's better hitting when not pitching.
All of the stats.
But what makes him that much more special is when he's going to hit like this next year and he's going to pitch like Gerrit Cole.
He's not going to be as good at pitching.
Okay.
Or he's not going to be as good at hitting. If he's pitching, he's not going to be good.
Why?
Focus
why?
On one.
Why?
Rich,
why can't
he
just
bring it back to Mike Florio and exporting? Why import and export when you can just focus on one?
But why can't he be getting better at hitting? Why can't he just be still? He's still getting better. Why? Oh, because he's not pitching every fifth day. He can now leave the yard easier. I won't buy it. And certainly if I bought him as a Dodger front office executive for a $700 million contract, and I'm going to start paying him annual payments of $50 million a year when he's no longer playing for me, yeah. I'm going to get my money's worth when he still can do it and put him on the mound every fifth day until he just says, I can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
That simple.
Well, what if in a few months he says, I don't want to pitch anymore?
Is he practicing?
I don't think he can. I don't think he can throw.
He's not ready to throw.
By the way, what a great question to ask Dave Roberts. When's Ohtani going to start throwing? So, of course, Sean Mitchell's like, hey, you want me to put a board together of the home runs with the longest home runs of the year?
Feels like he had already done that when he asked.
Maybe he did. He's really into it. He's really into the subject matter. And this made me feel better. By the way, feats of strength, that's the number of feet.
Oh, that's funny.
Well done. Smitch can do it. He can turn a phrase. there is Jorge Soler with an even longer home run in Coors Field last night. But that's
those two don't count.
That's a thin rock.
Coors Field, 1-2, see ya.
Those two don't count.
By the way, the fact that Ohtani hit a home run only 3 feet longer in altitude than the one that he hit last night is insane. By the way,
and that one at Coors Field was
the one that Judge hit in Yankee Stadium was huge. And look who also hit one 473.
Oh, he still plays?
Mike Trout still plays baseball.
Forgot about him.
So, those are the longest home runs in Major League Baseball this year.
It's amazing.
So, I just knew you'd say, I just will not buy it. If I am a Dodger front office executive, that guy is pitching the
minute. Are you worried about not getting an ROI on your money? Like, what do
correct.
You mean?
Yes.
The stadium is full. Everything that has his name
not
on
as full,
it is
not as full.
So, not as full as what? As it could be? They're going to add more seats?
No. It's not completely capacity. It would be if he pitches. Or you're giving away a bobblehead. Wasn't total capacity the night that he hit one against the Angels?
Oh, sorry. It's only sold out last night because the Red Sox are in town.
Maybe. You can make it about yourself a little bit.
I mean, never pitch again.
Absurd. $700 million contract. He's pitching.
He's going to hit 700 home runs.
And maybe win 300 games, too, and be the greatest player ever. Oh, he won't win 300 games. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
Winning a Cy Young and an MVP in the same year, and not just because you win the MVP for pitching, that guy can do it. And if I'm a Dodger front office executive, I want to see it. Because I'm paying for it 20 years from now, that's for sure.
You're paying for four 800-foot home runs.
I'm paying for it. I want to see it. And I knew he would say what he's saying right now.
Of course.
As I was in altitude last night, looking for Ohtani's baseball through Susie's window. Unbelievable. Fun show, everybody. We'll wrap this one up on the Roku channel in a sec.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast.
Season 4, I'm glad that it's over.
As we know now that season 5 is supposed to be one of our better seasons.
Obviously, the tattoo storyline, you know how I feel about that.
You hating that storyline brought me a lot of joy because I kept waiting to see how it was going to keep going and then how they would somehow settle it.
Binge seasons 1 through 4 of Talkville before season 5 begins, wherever you listen.